So we were talking yesterday about the question of Osik Mitzvah Patur or Mitzvah. Is that always true? Is there any Mitzvah A or Mitzvah B where changing it may change the equation? What if Mitzvah A is something else? What if Mitzvah B is something else? And we spoke about how that potentially fits into the overall issues that we've seen so far. So what do we have left to talk about? Yesterday we spoke about if there's some kind of discrepancy in the value of the mitzvahs. We talked about if one mitzvah is a suffix, does that mean that it's not going to pater the second mitzvah? Or if it's a heksha mitzvah, does that mean it's not going to pater the second mitzvah? Or if the second mitzvah is a lo sase? Those were all points that we spoke about yesterday. So what are a few others to throw into the equation? So what about, first of all, if it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan? That's a major application. It's certainly a situation that could come up enough times. So is a mitzvah d'rabbanan able to pater from a mitzvah d'oraisa? So this is a chakira that the Rabbi Chanan brings up in his Kovet Shirim elsewhere. The Aruch Lener talks about it here. And so this is definitely a topic to think about. And I mentioned to some of the guys yesterday that these smaller subtopics that we're talking about now, the Marmakomos, are necessarily somewhat disjointed, because in the Rishonim and the Gemaras, they don't take these questions on straight on. These are questions the later Sfarim took up and tried to find proof from here, from there. So the Marmakomos, we're looking at the level of Chazal and Rishonim, are going to necessarily be disjointed. So here also, this is a topic that really the later Sfarim took up. So what do you think? What is going to define this issue? Drawing from anything that you've seen this year, what would you think would tilt the direction of that Shaila? So if you're Osek in a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, should that pater you from a mitzvah d'oraisa? What do you think? How would you understand it? Yeah, Sammy.
I think for face value, one of the things that we've emphasized a lot is that it's very difficult for us to place a value on mitzvahs.
Okay.
So with that said, there's no reason.
In fact, Mishnah says it's impossible for us.
Right. So yeah. Being that such is the case, I think it's fair to maintain that there's no reason to say that one shouldn't pop you from a deraisa, or even to say that a deraisa should pop you from a deraisa. It's one thing to say that one's docha the other, which means it literally pushes it off, and that's also how we interpret that. But I think for face value, you can say, oh, you're automatically putter because you're a deraisa.
You're putter because of the mitzvah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, it's a mitzvah deraisa.
Right.
So if you want to say that you're putter for that because you're osik in a mitzvah, I think that's fair to say.
So you're saying because of mitzvah, so whether it's deraisa or derabanan shouldn't matter. So it seems that this question really... Yes, Moshe?
You say doing a derabanan is really comes from deraisa.
Ah, okay. So basically, it seems like there are two major questions, both of which we've discussed, which could play a role here. One, and this is the question that the Aruch Lener invokes in this issue, is what is happening when you're involved in a mitzvah d'rabbanan. If you're involved in a mitzvah d'rabbanan, is that a fulfillment of a mitzvah min haTorah? So does this perhaps connect to the question that we talked about last semester, the whole nature of where dinim d'rabbanan come from? So just to quickly recap that, especially for those of us who joined us since, there is a major machlokus harishonim that the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos and in Mishnah Torah that the mitzvah min haTorah of Lo Sasser that appears in Parashat Shoftim, Lo Sasser min haDavar Asher Yagid Lecha, we're not supposed to deviate from that which the rabbis instruct us, that is inclusive of not just what the rabbis say to interpret the Torah, but also all new dinim. So if the rabbis make a new mitzvah d'Rabbanan or an Isser d'Rabbanan, that is included in the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. And the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban says it's not true, it doesn't come from that pasuk. And among the many reasons he objects, among the many questions he adds, is that if it really came from that pasuk, So how could we have a rule like Safek Derabanan Lekula? How could we be lenient with rabbinic law? Why don't we say that every rule midrabanan is really a rule min haTorah? Every halacha that comes from Chazal is a form now of a mitzvah min haTorah, and therefore we should be machmir. So we discussed last semester at great length. There are a lot of answers to that question, a lot of approaches to that question. But part of what you could take from that is that, okay, so it seems like, according to the Rambam, that when you're involved in a mitzvah derabanan, you're also involved in a mitzvah min haTorah. So then that should seemingly make the whole question moot. That if it's a mitzvah min haTorah, so then why shouldn't it exempt a mitzvah like any other mitzvah? That's the way the Aruch Lener understands it. Now, even so, we could still have some room to question, because we could say, like we said yesterday, well, what about a Safek mitzvah? If it's a Safek, on the one hand, if it's a Safek d'oraisa, at least, you have to do it, so then it's a mitzvah, it's something you have to do. But on the other hand, still, maybe it shouldn't be that if a mitzvah is fundamentally a different category, that it should exempt you from a mitzvah that's from a more intense category. If we generally have an idea that Rabbanans do not take priority over Daraises, so then how should we allow a mitzvah Darabanan to absolve us of a mitzvah Daraisa, even if you want to say that it still comes from a Daraisa place? So that's one part of the question. Rabbi Chanan, in his Kovet Shiurim, so he asked the question a little differently, and this is also similar to what we said yesterday. Then let's go back to the language of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, and in Sukkah, that Osik Mitzvah Patim and a Mitzvah really goes to the nature of the Chiyuv Mitzvos. That B'Sheves Tidach or B'Lachas Tidach, that you are obligated in Mitzvos when you're on your own time, not when you're on God's time. So therefore, as long as it is God's work that you're doing, you should be exempt, even if it doesn't necessarily have the highest mitzvah status. So therefore, mitzvah d'rabbanan maybe could also be argued to not be shavas didach, not be leches didach, and therefore one should be exempt as well. Any further comments or insights on that subject? Anybody want to...
Extend to like
Minhagim?
Is it extend
to
everything that's in the realm
of religion? So now you're opening up another interesting question on Minhagim connected to Los Osir, which they might be. But it's hard to believe, right? It's hard to believe that somebody who's doing a kapara should be pater from a tefillin or something like that. But one could make a svara like that in practice. You have to think if that would ever actually play out. But theoretically, if one says there's a kiyum of Los Osir, even by Minhagim, or even a kiyum of Divrei Kabbalah, Val Tito Shtara Simacha, then maybe there is a certain logic to say that. Again, I think that would be a hard sell in practice, but you know, it's definitely what to think about. AJ, was that your hand up? Okay. So you know, there's one thing I'll tell you that always frustrated me a little bit. If you find this in Rishonim a little bit, like the Nemuki Yosef, some point to the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak of Brachos. At the beginning of the third parak of Brachos, the Gemara talks a little bit about Hilchos Avelus and Aninus. So the Gemara says that somebody who's involved in the Kfuras Hameis and Tanchumei Avelim is pater from Kriya Shema and Tefillah during that time. So there are some who say, and even if I was a little bit in the Rishonim, that, oh, you see, that's true, even though this is a mitzvah derabbanan. So, my question, and if this is your question, is why did they say it's a mitzvah derabbanan? Is that your question?
Yeah.
So, why did they say, AJ wants to ask, why did they say it's a mitzvah derabbanan? Because of the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, in the 14th parak of Hilchos Avil, the Rambam has a phrase that all the chasadim that we do are included in V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And that midivrei sofrim, they made up these specific categories like bikur cholim, nicham avelim, etc. So there is an interesting discussion to be had.
Those categories?
The Rambam says the Chazal made up these categories. The midivrei sofrim, they made these categories. Right?
Which
categories? The categories that we have of nicham avelim and hachnasas orchim. Actually, if you have Mishnah Torah here, I'll read you the exact language.
Also included in the
Yeah, I'll have a Rambam here. So.
Ah,
so that's the question. So what does he mean by that? So here's a lesson from the beginning of the 14th parak of Hilchos Evel. Parak Yadal and Halacha Aleph. You can add this to the Marma Komos list. The first Rambam here says, Mitzvah Saseh shall devrei him. Levakir Cholim, Ulinachem Avelim, Ulhotzi Amei, Sulhach Sakala, Vulul Vosa Orchim, Vlas Asik, Behold Sarchi Akvura, Vlas Solakase, Flail Vafana, Vlisbor Lapel of Glukvor, Behemel Samech Kalava Chasin, Vlus Adam, Behold Sarchehem. So he lists all these acts that we know of as examples of Chesed, and he called all of that Mitzvah Shal Devrehim. And then he goes on to say, Ve'elu Hain Gemilas Chasadim Shebegufo, Shayim Lahem Shir. These are all acts of chesed we do with our bodies that have no limit. Afal pi shekol mitzvos elu midivrayin, harehim dechlal v'yahav dorecha kamocha. So even though they're all midivrayim, they're all midrabanan, but they're all included v'yahav dorecha kamocha. Kol hadvarim sh'atay rose, she'osu osam l'cha, acherim, asay ata osam le'achich b'tarim mitzvah. So whatever you would want that someone else should do for you, says the Rambam, then you should do that for them. So there's a couple of questions that come out of this round, but one question is, I wrote an article once where I quoted another article. Our own Rabbi J. David Bleichschluter wrote an article about this point, which I quoted somewhere just yesterday. Rabbi Moshe T. Weinberg was telling me that he remembered that I quoted this from Rabbi Bleich, and he was quoting it in Ishur yesterday. I don't know what the topic was, but anyway, somehow some synergy there, some cross sheer synergy, that Rabbi Bleich discussed the question of why is it that Chazal had to make categories. If the Rambam says that it's all included, we have Tlarecha Kamocha, so why do we need to have the Rabbanan come in and make these categories? It's all obligatory anyway through we have Tlarecha Kamocha. So he has an approach over there. That's an important question of itself. But what we're interested in here is just the other half of that implication. So is it accurate to say that somebody who's involved in a kvura, in nicham aveilim, is involved in a mitzvah of the Rabbanan only? I don't think so. I think, even though, again, the Mechilas Kavadah sounds like some Rishonim are saying like this, but I don't think it's what the Rambam is saying. What the Rambam is saying is that there is a mitzvah min ha-Torah that's mechayev this, of Yahav Terech HaKamocha. For whatever reason, and that's what Rabbi Bleich discusses, Chazal felt the need to be more specific about it and to flesh it out and to really identify for us exactly what is included. But it all comes back to a certainly a kiyum in V'yahav Tzarech HaKamocha. Certainly, I would think, one is fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa in doing this. So this is even without the Rambam and the Ramban by the Sasser, that without saying that all the Rabbanans are a fulfillment of a d'oraisa, especially this one, this is more directly a d'oraisa, that this is just Chazal kind of helping us out to understand what does V'yahav Tzarech HaKamocha require from us in detail. To understand, practically speaking, what does it mean? But to say then one who's doing this is fulfilling a Rabbanan as opposed to a D'oraisa, I don't see that so much. Again, Mechilas Kavod, some of the Rishonim sound like it. It seems like that one should be considered to be Osek and a mitzvah D'oraisa when one is involved in these activities just like any other mitzvah. Hi.
Correct. I'm not sure about this, but didn't he apply
Deraisa
just for the first day and for
Aninus? In terms of Avelus. Yeah, you're talking about whether Avelus itself, whether Avel to observe Avelus. So
where did you draw the line between the first day and the other day? When shouldn't it all fall under Avelus?
You're talking about the Avel observing his own Avelus.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a different mitzvah. Okay. That's the mitzvah of Avelus. He's talking about how others treat the avil, the idea of the act of chesed. Now you're posing another interesting question, which is to what extent is there a correlation between the halachic state of avilus and the mitzvah of nicham avilim? Are they all contingent on one or the other? But theoretically, we can separate them. So here we're talking about chesed, and it seems to me, mechilas kavod to those others, that there's all a fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa without coming into the to the Rambam and Ramban by Lo Sasso, just in terms of what Chesed is, that this is all included. But just for the record, so some of the Svarim do point to the Rishonim in the beginning of the third part of Brachos, and that whole Gemara, that it sounds like you're exempt from Kriya Shema when involved in Tanchumi Avelim, even though Ram says Midivrehim, what does that tell us about the Rabbanans and the Raisis? Hi.
But first of all, does
anybody
agree that you're from Kriya Shema?
That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Maybe I should have put this on the Gemara Kamos.
The other thing was, does that mean that like if your friend's having a bad day and you decide to go play basketball with him, then you're put there from other RSAs because you're being kind off behalf of the Mocha?
Okay, that's an interesting question. How far do you want to go with this? Your friend's having a bad day and playing basketball, so it seems like you're creating a certain model there which has a lot of surprising elements to it that should be considered osik mitzvah. You're right that at some point we have to draw the line where the mitzvah is considered to be obligatory or considered to be a more direct kiyum ha-mitzvah. You're right, it's hard to imagine what's a patur from kriya shema for that. Where you draw the line there is an interesting question. I'll tell you, there are other areas, this is totally not our topic, but just to show you how the stakes can get even higher, this comes up in the area of Chil Shabbos, not because of Osik Mitzvah, Patim and a Mitzvah, but we, Halacha L'maisa, we allow if a woman goes to labor on Shabbos, so she's allowed to be driven to the hospital, and we let the husband go also, because we assume that the emotional support that comes from the husband is part of the whole life-saving process, that it's not just she needs a doctor, she also needs her emotional support structure. So the question is, how far do you go with that? Once you say that that contributes to the pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, so there was a major debate in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago. Let's go back. Probably goes back about 12-13 years ago. That one of the rabbis in the army drove down to the front with a sefer Torah on Shabbos in order to cheer up the soldiers, basically in order to inspire their morale, under the assumption that that will help them fight more effectively and perform pikuach nefesh functions. And there were great rabbanim who supported that, and the great rabbanim who said, hold on a second, you're going to have some kind of standards here, what qualifies and what doesn't. And that's, you know, where the stakes are much higher there in terms of actual Chil Shabbos. So it's interesting, you can have some room to wonder just how undefined these activities can get. So it's hard to answer that directly. But presumably you need more than that. And here maybe this helps a little bit. This answers maybe the first question, that maybe that could explain this part of why did the Rambam need these formulations. But let's agree that there is a kiyum deraisa, but why do Chazal need to create Bikur Cholim and Yichum Aveilim and the like? Because maybe there is a need for greater formality in this mitzvah, that we have a general klal here, which is very important, but to be able to know what actually constitutes a direct fulfillment, maybe that's where this Divrei Sofrim comes in to help give actual structure to it. So it's all interesting to think about. Ezreal.
Do other Rishonim agree with the Rambam's opinion on Avdol HaRei, or is it just his own
today? So it seems the later Achronim, later Rishonim who quoted, it seems like they are working off that premise. So our question is really, what does he mean? You know, does he mean to say that it's Drabbanan in the sense, you'll forgive the phrase, only Drabbanan? Or Drabbanan in the sense that this is something Chazal did to give more structure to the Daraisa, but the Kiyum is the Daraisa? I find it hard to say that it's not a Kiyum Daraisa.
Because from what I know, like whenever the Gemara mentions it, it's much more narrow.
So sometimes it's not. I mean, the idea that Chesed is all from behalf of Reicha Kamocha, is that
yeah.
Quite? So, so that there is a discussion in general. The problem is it gets into a big discussion. This is a fascinating topic, which I guess maybe I could give you more comments about. Also, it gets a little bit tangential, but it does all tie back into our question of whether Osek via behalf of Reicha Kamocha patters you for mitzvos. So some of the Rishonim are troubled with the notion that V'yahavta Reicha Kamocha can be a positive idea at all. What do I mean? Sounds like the most positive idea. It means that to say that it's a mechayev of behavior is very difficult, because Kamocha What does that word mean? So it's got to mean something, right? So what does it mean in Kamocha? So if it means a matter of degree, that just like you love yourself, you should love someone else, so then how does that work? You cannot do that. You cannot express the same level of love and concern to a same degree to somebody else in an active sense as you do for yourself. So I go to work to make money to support my family, so I have to do that to support everyone else's family. I can't do that for even one person, let alone everybody. It's practically impossible. So if it means to the same degree, it just doesn't play out. So some prefer the Lashon of Hillel in the Gemara and Shabbos when he says the negative formulation, that that which is hateful to you, don't do to others. Because then, okay, that we can say, to the same degree as you don't want people to do bad things to you, don't do bad things to other people. That's theoretically a livable life. But to say, do positive things to the same degree, is very difficult. So some of the Rishonim preferred the negative interpretation. And then you have to assume there are other sources for... Yeah, because, like, for example, the idea of Halachta B'Drachah, which we read about many times in Sefer Dvarim, which is also sources in this week's Parsha and last week's Parsha and Parsha's Kishalach and Parsha's Israel, that point to different components of both Chesed in general and Chesed in specific. There is the Gemara in Bava Metzia and in Bava Kama. Point to the pasuk in last week's parsha where Yisroel says to Moshe, "Vahidaitim is the derech yelchu ba." You should tell them the path that they should work on, walk on. So the Gemara says over there that the derech is chesed, and then he goes on to say, "Yelchu, that's bikur cholim, ba, that's kvur." So I have to figure out how all of that comes from a pasuk in Chumash. Why is bikur cholim and kvura separated from chesed? The Gemara addresses that a little bit. You know, what exactly is the whole nature of the limud? So there are a lot of candidates here to say that it's there is one way or another. So it's hard to take the attitude that it's, you know, quote unquote just Rabbanon. We love the Rabbanon, but even to say that this is a just Rabbanon, as if that's a, you know, if that's in any way a change in status, it's a little hard to understand. But a part of the discussion about this whole question of Osek and Mitzvah Midrabanan is this discussion about Nichum Avelim and related ideas. Okay, so what about if the other mitzvah on this topic here, we're talking about Chesed, what about on the other side of the equation? That what if not the first mitzvah is Chesed, but the second mitzvah is Chesed? Is there an idea that a mitzvah does not potter you from a second mitzvah if the second mitzvah is ben adam l'chaveru? So some achronim have this idea, and it seems to be based on a concept which is expressed by the Avnei Nezer. You had this idea earlier than him also, but just the Avnei Nezer spells this out. He spells it out in a different context. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit closer to Purim, because it's relevant to Purim also. But the basic idea is, let's assume that Osek is a mitzvah, patim and a mitzvah, as we've been assuming from the beginning. Let's assume it's a parallel concept to Onus Rachmana Patra, that you're not expected to do the second mitzvah because you can't be in two places at once. So you're an Onus, so you're forgiven. So the question is, does Onus Rachmana Patra work for everything? So there are a number of achronim who assume that it only works for mitzvos ben adam l'makom. Why? Because God can read your mind, so God knows your intentions. So if God says that I credit you with both mitzvos, or at least I excuse you from the second mitzvah, we said the question of whether you're actually credited is a separate question, but the idea that you should at least be excused for not doing the second mitzvah. So God can do that. God can say, listen, I know what you're trying to do here, and I see what's going on, so I'll exempt you from the second mitzvah. But when it comes to human beings, So human beings don't have that capacity. If somebody comes to you and he's starving and he needs some food or he's going to collapse, so if you have a very good excuse, it's not going to help. He's still going to collapse. It's not going to make a difference that you meant well. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, just very quickly, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz illustrates this principle, because there's a Gemara at the end of the first parak of Basra, where the Gemara talks about Penina. Are you familiar with Penina? She was the other wife of the husband of Chana. Chana didn't have any children, and she was very upset about it. And her husband's other wife, Penina, she had many children. So the Navi tells us that she used to harass her. She used to make her feel very bad about it. And the question is the Gemara... the Gemara says regarding that activity that she used to, that Penina used to harass Chana, the Gemara says Penina l'shem shamayim misgavna, that Penina meant well. She thought that if she'd make life totally miserable for Chana, then Chana would be pushed to daven even harder, and maybe that would help her situation. Maybe she would get an answer. So this is unbelievable. You know, are we saying that the Gemara is defending Penina, that Penina meant well, so it's okay? So Chaim Shmulevitz, in a famous drasha, a famous sicha, he says, no, quite the opposite. The Gemara is making the exact opposite point. It's saying that, no, despite the fact that she meant well, it doesn't help. There's no defense in the fact that she meant well, because when you're dealing with human beings, it doesn't help to mean well. It doesn't help that you think you're doing something good, because human emotions are what they are. So if you're causing suffering, the fact that you meant well doesn't help. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can credit your meaning well. Daniel?
Isn't that from the Midrash that every time Chana had a child,
Penina
lost one?
Yeah, so it's clear that Penina was punished horribly. Right? So to say that somehow she's off the hook because of her good intentions doesn't square. So all the more so, that's his point, that no, she meant well, it doesn't matter if she meant well. The fact is that by causing somebody suffering, so she's liable for that. He gives the mashal, he says that if you put your hand in an oven and you mean well, when you take it out, it's still burnt. It's not going to be any less burnt because you meant well. So too, when dealing with human beings, you have to factor in their actual human suffering, and it's not going to help that you mean well. So this correlates to this notion that onus rachmana patre is only good between you and God, because God can say, it's okay, I know what you're trying to do, but human beings don't have that ability. So once you say that, that could affect a number of other principles. It could affect Esei Del Chalos, Esei, for example, basically anything where we're trying to navigate a path because we have a conflict. So then maybe this becomes a whole different priority. And this affects a bunch of things. So, for example, the whole Chumrah of Pirshumei Nisa, this is where the Avnei Nezer talks about it. But maybe we mentioned this Chanukah time, I don't remember. But the Rambam says that you have to make sure to do whatever you can to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah candles. And even if you have to sell your clothes. And the Sfarim ask, but when it comes to mitzvahs in general, you don't have to go so crazy. If it costs more than a fifth of your money, like we mentioned yesterday, you don't have to do it. So how can we say that for a mitzvah the Rabbanan, you have to go to such lengths? So the Magen Mishnah explains, based on the Mishnah in Safin, that it's because Pirshumei Nisa is such a chumrah that puts a greater stringency on things. So still, how does that explain anything? So the Avnei Nezer writes in a tshuva like this, is in some Tuf Aleph, that when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, so when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan machavero, we can't just rely on our best efforts, it has to get done. And it says, Pirshumei Nisa is like that. Pirshumei Nisa is about communicating with somebody else. You have to transmit the message. So the idea that you don't have to do a mitzvah if it costs too much, that's really a principle he explains. That's part of the onus rachmana patre category of mitzvos. That if it costs you too much, you're exempt. And Chazal understood that if it costs you more than 20%, you're exempt. So God says, you can't afford tefillin, okay, I'll credit you as if you put on tefillin. But if it involves communicating with another person, if it involves transmitting a message. So then it's not enough to say I did my best. They have to actually get there. Hadi?
I'm trying to think about how this relates to a show that I'll say something. I did a heron.
Right.
Which I typically associate with being in communal activities that need to be taken care of.
Okay.
If it's been done.
I mean, well, basically, if a mitzvah is result oriented, if a mitzvah is more action oriented.
Correct. I normally think of
Binyan Lomakom
as being more action-oriented.
Maybe not. I mean, whether it breaks down a little, it seems like it's
but
a more complex question.
Is that much true? Then
yeah. I don't know if it's...
This point is a little bit ironic with the exemption of Eshel HaSosol HaVir.
Maybe, yeah. I'm not sure.
To get something done, but if it's Dafka Binyan LaHavir, well, that's where we're...
Yeah, I'm not sure if you'll find that that distinction breaks down exactly that way. I do think it's real. It's an interesting opening thought, but I think you're not going to see that it's perfect. Yes, you.
Yeah. Are we saying that for Ben Adam Lachavero, it's that Onus Rechon of Hazard doesn't apply?
Essentially, that's how some Achronim seem to be saying.
That you'll get punished?
No, well, that's you won't get punished, but that you. So I right, it's not, well, the command of it, maybe nothing is, but the question is, could you even be exempted from it? So maybe you can't be, because you have this actual physical need. Now, what does that mean practically? If it's a literal oneness, you can't do it, you can't do it. But it may mean that you have to prioritize that and make greater efforts to do it. So, for example, if we're now talking about Osik Mitzvah, so to say, no, it doesn't pat to you, stop what you're doing, and go do the second mitzvah. There's even a discussion that maybe the whole concept of Pikuach Nefesh, Doches, Hakol, doesn't apply to a mitzvah of an Adam L'Chaveiro, which is pretty radical thought. But there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma that discusses the concept of whether it's Mutter L'Hatzil Atzma B'Mam L'Chaveiro, the famous Heinz dilemma. Are you allowed to save your life at the expense of having to steal from someone else? So it should be positive. So we say, Pekuach Nefesh Belcha Kol Toku, it's not one of the big three. So what's the discussion? So how to understand that Gemara in Bava Kamma is the whole discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein thought the whole thing couldn't possibly be. There's no question that Pekuach Nefesh is Docha Gazla and other things. But there is some discussion. There's a Gemara in Ksubis and Dafri Ches. It also sounds like that. As Gemara says, you can't sign, according to the opinion of Rav Meir, that you can't sign a false shtar, even under gunpoint. If somebody threatens your life and says, give false aidus, you still can't. So it sounds like because that's going to result in stealing from somebody else, so you're still not allowed to do it. Again, halacha l'maisa, we do steal if we have to. So again, Rav Moshe thought the whole thing can't be, but there is quite a literature about it. And what might be is somewhere in the middle, that in a chanami, you can't let yourself get killed because you don't want to steal. But as opposed to Chol Shabbos or even Yom Kippur or wherever, where the action becomes mutter, makom pikuach nefesh, here it doesn't become mutter, it just becomes the better choice. So you'll have to steal, but maybe you'll have to pay back later. You'll have to somehow account for it. So it still relates to this idea that God can say, okay, listen, I know you need to eat on Yom Kippur, I know you need to be Mechal Shabbos because of Pekuach Nefesh, so I'll be okay with it. But other people, but human beings, they don't have the ability to just release their needs just because of your pressure. So therefore, maybe it doesn't have the same kind of mechanics. So all of that may indicate that, let's say, if somebody needs a desperate handout, then you're too busy, so we can't say you're potter, because lemaisa, they are in absolute emergent need. Daniel?
So then is the reason why we do apply those agreements, right? In the case of tzedakah, which I assume is a b'nai
l'makom. Oh, so that's so you're saying because of Bava Kamma, right? Because of the proof of the
Rebbe-Yosef? Yeah, I'm saying, well, in that case, we clearly see where we are applying, and I assume tzedakah would be an example of
mitzvah. Okay, so that's the next step. So this is a big question on this whole thing. So to say that it doesn't exempt from mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, so what about proof of the Rebbe-Yosef? What about that Gemara of Bava Kamma, which does apply the exemption to tzedakah? So you could say that Hashavas Aved is also a Adam L'Chaveiro. So it's an interesting question what to do with that. Now, this comes up halacha l'maisa all the time, because this is a question of shul policy. There's a discussion about this in Sfarim and everybody's real lives, that what about the people who come to shul on a weekday morning, or on a Sunday morning, who come to collect tzedakah? So on the one hand, should you say just to give the back and forth in this conversation. So on the one hand, you might say they have to do it afterwards because Osik Mitzvah Patim and Mitzvah, people who are involved in davening chakras, are Patur from Staka that night. On the other hand, what about what we just said here, that if it's a Benadu Mechavero, then they're not Patur, so maybe they should be giving Staka even in the middle of davening. In addition to the fact that based on the Arizal and others, there are people who doubt could give Staka in the middle of davening. You say, I need tzaddik echazeh panacha, that you need to have stuck as a foundation for our conversation with God. So this is a whole discussion, practically speaking. Lemaisa, we have to figure out whether it really applies to our shuls, because does it? What's going on in a Sunday morning davening? Is it that you have to be in the middle of davening and all of a sudden somebody is in dire, emergent need of something and confronts you at that moment? Not really. It's that they're general tzakenin, which will be the same an hour from now as it is now. They're choosing the time of tefillah to come to because that's when they're going to find the people that they're looking for. So that being said, it can be understood how shuls have different policies about this and different understandings because there is a genuine issue how exactly to balance these considerations. And it's understandable why a shul may take a policy that may divide things in whatever way they think is most conducive to all of the goals here. Moshe?
Were you assuming that davening is d'oraisa?
Not necessarily, because that goes back to our first question, but Kriya Shema is d'oraisa. Other things are, but
It depends on the first
right. Davening. Yeah, that brings us back to where we started, so that's a good segue point. So this... I guess there's so much to say about this subject, so we still haven't discussed Talmud Torah. So we're going to get Talmud Torah at the beginning of Monday, and then to be Mekayim, we said we're still going to start something else then. Tomorrow, God willing, is Parsha. Mishpatim is a big topic. Sunday, we said we're in the middle of our Purim Sugyos, so we'll have to continue that. And I wish everyone that they should... have a good day and stay dry and stay safe. All right, who would like to daven for us? Zach, you have those glasses. There you are.